Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. This is your host, Ava Muhammad. To all of my listeners, assalamu alaikum, in the original Arabic tongue, which simply means peace be unto you. Today is Thursday, November the 15th, 2012. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and it is a great blessing to be with you once again. You callers are the reason that this show is so successful, and we want you, as always, to join us in this discussion. Call in at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And, of course, an unlimited number of people can log in at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. I am also in the process, even as I speak, of sending messages to my Twitter and Facebook pages to let the visitors on our social network know that we are live on the air right now. Well, the election is over, and we talked about it a little bit last week. But now we have had time since the 6th of November for things to begin to settle in. And in the mind of white America, the settling in of the truth that the election of a black man into the Oval Office was not a fluke, and it happened not once but twice. And the election was more decisive than anyone anticipated. And now that that truth is settling in, people are becoming unglued. And the country is becoming increasingly unstable. And I don't know if you are aware of it, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-plus states have a significant number of signatures on petitions that are circulating to secede from the United States. This in response to the election of Barack Obama. I was blessed to be in the company this week in meetings pretty much back-to-back around the clock with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the nation's business, et cetera. And he has provided profound insight, as he has done in recent weeks. And so, again, we invite the callers to share with us your thoughts as we give you a little bit of the statistics as the show progresses as to which states, in fact, from what I'm told, every one of the 50 states has at least 1,000 signatures on petitions to secede. It's just some are more significant than others. I also want to advise you that the movie Lincoln goes into theaters tomorrow. I saw it last week, my husband and I, and the comparisons, as Minister Farrakhan showed us Savior's Day, comparisons between Lincoln and Obama are eerie, the similarities in their presidencies, not only in the time and the circumstances, but both of these men being faced with very unique circumstances in history. So we look forward to a really, really powerful discussion tonight. And, of course, in order to have that type of powerful discussion, we have to have a brilliant panel. And that, of course, would mean my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and our Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And to both of you, assalamu alaikum, and thank you both forever and ever for giving your time to be with us. Assalamu alaikum.
It's an honor.
this is profound, brothers. You know what is going on now. That after decades of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being viewed as extreme, as he offered to Black and white America what he characterized as the best and only solution to the problem between the two people, separation. And now here we are in 2012 being confronted with that reality once again, because clearly this history in this country of the two people moves in cycles. And there's a tendency during certain periods where it looks as though there will be integration, there will be assimilation. But when you have the truth and understanding, and when you have exposure to this body of knowledge of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we know better than that. We know of the impossibility of that. And so really, to sort of give us a springboard for our conversation, I'm just going to read from one of the numerous articles that are out. This one is from Reuters, and it's from yesterday. And the headline is, Seven States Qualify for Secession Response from the White House. The petitions for secession from the United States, filed by Texas, Louisiana, and five other states, have collected more than 25,000 signatures each, which the White House website says is enough for review and response. And I'll stop right there and just reemphasize that the White House, the Obama administration, has set up a methodology for citizens to have a voice. And anytime you want to be heard on an issue, if you can garner 25,000 signatures on a petition, the White House will respond to you. And so the White House will respond to at least seven of the 40 states who have filed petitions. And here's the article itself. Citizens from more than 40 states have filed petitions with the White House seeking to secede from the Union. And by Wednesday, seven states had gathered enough signatures to qualify for a response to the largely symbolic protest. The petitions, which have been signed by a small percentage of state residents, have virtually no chance of succeeding. The United States' bloodiest conflict, the 1861 to 1865 Civil War, erupted after 11 states withdrew from the Union. The White House has set up a We the People page on its website that allows Americans to file petitions on issues of concern. If a petition collects 25,000 signatures, the administration will review and respond to it. We need to remember that as the Nation of Islam.
Yes, yes.
The petition filed by Texas residents has racked up about 100,000 signatures. Six others, Louisiana, Florida, North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee, have each collected over 30,000. Among those seven states, only Florida gave its electoral votes to Democratic President Barack Obama in last week's election. The Texas petition says the United States is suffering from economic trouble stemming from the federal government's failure to reform spending. It also complains of alleged rights abuses committed by agencies such as the Transportation Security Administration. Given that the state of Texas maintains a balanced budget and it is the 15th largest economy in the world, it is feasible for Texas to withdraw from the union. A counterposition was filed by the city of Austin, Texas. That petition called for Austin to secede from the state of Texas and remain part of the United States. Oh, this is just getting it's getting too deep. Oh, and then lastly, residents in at least 40 states, again, including Louisiana, have filed petitions, and this is repetitive. This is a separate article, but I was looking for, okay, the White House will review it. Louisiana had more than 13,000 signatures, and in their petition, they quoted, the Louisiana petition quotes the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected it with connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And then I want to make note of one more article, and it says that unlike with Lincoln, these requests are peaceful, and they are not confined to the southern states. They range from the deeply red of Alabama and South Carolina to the deeply blue New York. Even New York, which is a completely Democratic state, swing states such as Pennsylvania. And the question that they raise is, and I'm raising for us tonight, is this simply the product of a few thousand discontents in each individual state? Perhaps. But the Texas petition, having well over 100,000, it could turn out this is more than just the discontented murmurings of a single state. This story may get ugly. So, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, let's get this discussion going. And again, callers, 347-324-5091. This is the real deal, brothers and sisters.
Well, you know, so I'm left speechless. I mean, I'm just let's read more. I mean, this is fascinating.
Isn't it?
You know, they're doing all the heavy lifting for us. You know, we just study them and see how they're doing it, and then we can do the same thing. And now maybe, you know, we won't seem so strange. You know, some people might say, well, if the white folks want to leave, let them leave. You know, so it's very interesting.
It really is. And I do want to mention this. President Lincoln, we know obviously there was a civil war during his second term, but South Carolina, which was the first state to secede from the Union under Lincoln, South Carolina, Florida was second. And this is why when we deal with the Trayvon Martin case, I always tell people we should not be surprised about the Stand Your Ground law and about the attitude about the murder of that child, because Florida is one of the most racist states in America. But and you know that, Dr. Ridgely, bordering them.
Well,
but
you know,
South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas – They seceded immediately after Lincoln was elected.
It is quite amazing. You know, we have stayed 400 years underneath their domination, and they've had 4 years of a black man, and they just can't take four more years. And all he's done is try to help them. We all know that he has basically done nothing specifically to help black people, but yet we have to put him back in office, and he tried to help white people, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warned them about hamstringing him, preventing him from doing well. We know now that on his very night of inauguration, Newt Gingrich, Paul Ryan, and others got together in a conspiracy to block any legislation that Obama put forward that would help the economy, because they felt if they could sink the economy around him, then that would prevent him from having a second term. So we're dealing with some very, you know, white people is like this. You know, it seems to be like this. If they see that you can use their foot, they're ready to cut the foot off. So this here is an evidence of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you mentioned something today. Can you repeat to me what the Minister Farrakhan said about white folks and black folks together?
He said, as long as we live with white people, we will live under them.
So they're showing us, you know, all praise is due to Allah. I mean, they're actually showing us they can't stand to be in a situation of equality. If they're not in dominance, then they want to take all their marbles and go. Very interesting.
Yes, sir.
Well,
now,
you know.
Oh, go ahead, Brother Terrence. Yes, sir.
No, and I want to jump in because I may have to jump back off.
Oh, that's right. Cause, yeah, you're pretty busy. You, I skipped over you.
So, I mean, because it's a couple of things before I even get to this particular topic. I do want to thank all our callers for the consistency, even though I was on. I didn't speak last week. Just that the callers are consistent, and you know, they thank us for being on here. And I'm saying that because this discussion is so profound, and I don't want any one of the callers to take it for granted. And for our regular callers, we need for you to encourage others to get on this line and have this discussion, because as Ava just laid out, the things that we're talking about, you know, when we look at, you know, it's amazing how anything the black man say has to be, in a sense, verified by a white man for black people to move out on it. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad been talking about separation is the best and only solution, and then when white America do not get their way, then the first thing, and the major thing that they do, they say, I'm leaving. I'm leaving because I didn't get my way. I'm leaving. And it sounds like a child. When a child doesn't get their way, they stop playing and they give up and they leave. So when we talked about our justification for having a land of our own, we are looked at as crazy. But look at the numbers that you're pointing out. It's not one state. It's not two states. It's not three states. All of these states are trying to secede. And where are they trying to go?
Right.
And where are they trying to do? But the reality, these people didn't just pop up. They have been there. They have always been there. And these are the same people that you live next door to. These are the same people that you go to work with. These are the same people that you're friends with. Sally and Bob don't want to be a part of this country. And they always had issues, and it's so clear that the issue only came when a black man got reelected.
Isn't that
no
something?
No other reason but the fact, because there was no talk about it before he got elected. There was no murmuring about it before he got reelected. But as soon as he got reelected, that discussion was put on the table, and people agreed to it and moved on it so fast, and that wasn't even what I was going to say. I'll come back to what I was going to say. That just came out of me.
You know, Allah gave you that to say, because that was important to put us in perspective. This is their first response.
That's right.
You know, our Messiah, the one we know now to be the Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said he came to that conclusion after 400 years.
Right.
Right.
You know, like you all just said, we suffered under them 400 years.
That's
they
right.
won't accept the competent, in fact, excellent and superior leadership of a black man who, if you take away the color issue, is
yes.
pound for pound the best president that the
That's
United
right.
States ever had, has accomplished more in the time frame he's been in office than any other president. And
right.
yet they are saying, we would rather walk away from the nation as a whole. Here's Louisiana sitting down there saying, because when you look at some of the comments on these websites where these articles appear and people comment, some of the residents of Louisiana who are signatories on these petitions are saying, well, you know, we're sitting down here in the Gulf and we have access to oil. We have access to this and that. And this way, our taxes will not go to the federal government. But see, most of these petitions, they're not going to outright say it's because a black man is in the White House. They always fall back on federal spending, and I'm going to get to that later on where that came from. Federal spending, federal government invading our privacy, et cetera. So Louisiana, the residents said, well, we don't want to pay taxes. So another person said, you know, you people are really dense. You know, Louisiana is a state that for every dollar that Louisiana taxpayers pay, the state gets $1.50 back. You're actually sucking the blood of the federal government.
Nice.
And if you cut yourself off from the United States, for example, as we all sat and watched FEMA come in, the Federal Emergency Agency, come in to the assistance of New York, New Jersey, the states that were hit by Hurricane Sandy, you know, actually hit by a law. How does a state, as one person put it, how does a state take care of its own emergency if its infrastructure is underwater? But as you're saying, Brother Terrence, and you, Dr. Risley, they would rather suffer and even die than to have the problem solved by a black man. If it's a black man at the head of it, I'll just go ahead and drown.
You know, and I wonder what would have happened if Romney had won. Do you think black folks would have seceded?
An excellent point. You know, we suffered under Bush
yeah.
for 8 years, and every one of the 43
That's
previous
right.
presidents was a white male.
Yep. We would have just said, let's hold hands and pray and sing. We shall overcome it. But white folks said, no, we are out of here. We walking out. And, you know, what's interesting in some of those petitions, when they talk about some of the problems like the TSA and the NDAA that, in fact, are taking away the liberties of the American citizens, I think that they're correcting some of the issues. And maybe now, because they bring those issues up, that maybe we can look into those issues. You know, we brought those issues up because we know the NDAA, they were talking about holding people without a warrant and without trial. We felt that they was going to come after the Muslims. And so we felt it, but who cares about what we feel? But now that white people are worried about that, maybe now they'll look into it. Maybe they will look into 911. Maybe they'll look into the possibility that their federal government was involved with the destruction of those buildings. Maybe now they're looking into these things instead of us talking about these things, but nobody caring about what we're saying because we seem to be out of step. So maybe this type of tension and frustration of white folks will make them look into some issues that affect us all.
That's exactly right. And we've got go ahead, sir, and then I'm going
to
go.
Oh, if you want to go to a caller.
Yes, sir. No, go ahead, and then I'll go. I'll bring our first caller. I'm so glad because we didn't get him on last week.
Okay.
Dr. Salam is on. Well, so go ahead, Brother Terrence.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly. Well, first I got to preface this, and Dr. Bridges will understand why. I was Aggie born, Aggie bred, and when I die, I'll be Aggie dead. That means I'm a student and product of North Carolina A&T State University. But for those that are out there, I'm at this illustrious campus of Howard University right now. I'm in Washington, D.C. at the State of the Black World Conference given by our beautiful brother Ron Daniels.
Oh, yes,
and so I'm here with a great lineup, Ron Daniels, Conrad Warrior, George Frazier, Susan Taylor, Francis Crest Welson's in the audience, Anthony Browder is here, our brother Leonard Dunston, Mark Thomas is the moderator, and our brother Reverend Willie Wilson is on the panel.
Wow.
And I'm bringing this up because the first part of the discussion, and I dipped out of the panel discussion because they was mentioning what should they ask of Barack Obama as him being the president, and it just some of the stuff that Dr. Ridge just hit me. And Jeff Johnson mentioned, he said, what should blacks ask? And Jeff Johnson asked, which blacks, you know, and which black folks, should, you know, what do they want? Because you may have the same ones that want to be with master, that want to be with Pharaoh, given demands that will only keep them in solitude slavery to master. So which masses and what agenda from which black folks do they want? He also said, you know, no consequences. There are no consequences for the Obama administration or anybody's administrations for not listening or responding to black people. So you are making demands, but your demands succeed not without some force and power behind it. So you are demanding on a government to do something for you, and you have no power to enforce your demands or even give consequences for them not responding. And then our sister Susan Taylor and brother Willie Wilson said we need to look inward, and you know we need to come together. And she said we've never had nothing that we have done together. She called out the churches, she called out the Pan-Atlantic Council. She said, but we haven't done nothing together since the Montgomery boycott, and that was sustained.
Good Lord.
So I mention that because, you know, we're looking for this magnificent government or this beautiful black man to do something that we have yet to do for ourselves. And she mentioned we haven't even gotten over the healing process from the damage that we've gotten for the last 400 years or even just internally hating ourselves. And George Frazier, our brother economist, said all he wants President Obama to do is say black. Just say the word black.
I know. I'm with him on that. It drives me insane.
Yeah, just say black.
Please.
And when will this hope and change come? And then lastly, our brother Mark Kill was talking about we need to also be concerned about Africa and all these drones that have been dropped over there. And care about the public, because every time the public is black, but then when everybody takes over and it's not for us, it's going to be private. And I'm bringing this discussion up because the reason why I stated people really need to listen to Elevated Places, because there's a conversation that we're having that the rest of our black elites are not having. And there is still a tinge or an ideology or mindset to try to fit into something where we having this discussion about states are trying to secede the union, and y'all are still over here trying to figure out how to work with a people that when your man won, everybody said, we getting the hell up out of here. And you're still trying to figure out how to coincide or to integrate and work with a country and a people who are disagreeable, do not want to be with you, and telling you I don't like you.
Telling you to your face
that I want to leave and go away because a black man is the president. So
ooh.
I don't care how many of the discussions we can have on whatever illustrious campus, whether it's A&T, Howard, with the black elite, those that we look up to, it's still the same in a sense, and no disrespect to our leaders and leadership, but it's the Negro language and conversation when we're still talking about integration versus doing something for ourselves when our open enemy, and the messenger was not wrong when he said our open enemy, they are not hiding their hatred for us. They're
That's
not
right.
masquerading their hatred for us. They're telling you he's black. I don't want to be a part of the United States because a black man became president and we got enough people that agree with us and we trying to get up out of here.
Well said. Well said. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I love the brother's comment because that has been a source of wear and tear on me psychologically, really, throughout President Obama's presidency is he just avoids the term black in a sentence in any way, shape, or form. And once in a while when he's going through the panorama of American history, and he'll say, and those who overcame sexism and then the slaves and then he'll just run right past it and jump to the immigrants. And he just did an interview post election, and he spent a great deal of time on the Latino vote and the power of the Latino vote. But at the same time, Charles Blow, the brother that writes for the New York Times, said, and he did an article where he showed statistically that, contrary to popular belief, and maybe that's why the president was the way he was with us the first time around, mathematically speaking, Obama would have won the presidency without the overwhelming 97% black vote that he got. It was assumed that we put him in, and certainly he needed us. He needed a significant number, but not the numbers that he got. However, in this election, 2012, he would not have been reelected without the black vote. It would have been a mathematical impossibility. And so at a time when he's singing praises to Latinos, you know, this time we absolutely put him in office, but he just can't bring himself to talk about it. But I'm going to, we're 347-324-5091, and I'm opening up the mic for our illustrious caller to Elevated Places. Dr. Salaam, welcome. So happy to have you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava, and to Brother Terrence. Is Dr. Ridgely with us today?
Yes, he
yes,
is.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. Brother Terrence, man, you are starting to hang up. You're on point, brother.
Isn't he?
You're right on point.
He hit it.
That's right.
And both of you are. Dr. Eva, you said something a couple of weeks ago that was really, really profound. And it's something to think about. You said that under President Obama's leadership, the wealthy has become wealthier.
Yes.
And it just puzzles me, what in the hell could they be mad at? This man has polished them with brass. I mean, their wealth, even that Donald Trump idiot, you know, he's gained a little bit more in finances. But the night of the election was a very interested night, and I think you made some comments on that night. But one thing that caught my ear was Bob Schieffer, the host of Face the Nation.
Yes, I'm sure.
He was so puzzled and so disoriented. And I'm going to quote him on something he said. He said, and I quote him, "We don't have anybody left to run for president." He said, "Where are all the old white men? We are in trouble."
What?
Now, if the powerful is saying that, how can our people miss hearing that and not want to separate? And our people don't understand what happens when they leave. Then what are you going to do? You're going to follow them all over again? And you're attached to their Coach Strange, you're not crying because they're angry. You're crying because you don't feel like you can make it without them. Mm. And that, you know, that is just madness. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said something, I believe it was in 95. He said that the white race had reached zero population growth.
That's right.
Well, I study a lot about demography, and I see it greater than that now. I believe that every time one is born, two or more of them are dying. And I think that's what Bob Schieffer was really, really alluding to. He didn't go further and say it that way, but I believe that that's the that's what he really, really means. And, you know, we did put him in office, I think, both times. But our vote this time, I don't think really mattered, because look at some of those states where the upper whites really went for him, the one that was gaining wealth. They don't run for money. I don't care who's giving it. But anytime these people have brought us into slavery, and they're now talking about they're upset and they want to leave because a black man is running this country, he's the first president of the United States of America, but he's not the first president of this country. The first president of this country was a black man named John
Hanson. Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir. I remember Brother Nuri taught on that.
See, yeah, because the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. George Washington was elected November of 1789 and went into office in January of 1790. Well, that's 14 years difference. Well, who was president? And the man's stature, John Hanson, is in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C., at a 35-degree angle across from George Washington. His face was on the original $2 bill. That's why many years ago they told us to get rid of the $2 bills, because they weren't any good. That was in the 50s. But I just wonder, what in the hell are our people going to do? Folks, what y'all going to do when Master leave?
Well, you know, the Minister Farrakhan said in a meeting I was in with him just yesterday, right on point, he revisited that population growth, because he was telling us about Pat Buchanan, the right-winger who had gotten fired off of MSNBC, but he made a statement that on election night that this was the death of white America. The actor, Chuck Norris, the martial arts guy, he said we're entering 1,000 years of, not we, but they are entering 1,000 years of darkness as a result. And if you look at Fox, and as I said last week, for the first time in my life I've been watching Fox News. I can only take about 3 to 5 minutes, but I'm taking such pleasure in their suffering. And they're talking about the end of traditional America. Of course, Mitt Romney manifested himself fully to be everything we all thought he was. He told his donors on a conference call that he lost the election because Obama bribed his voting constituency. And they have a new word now. They're getting smarter. You know, they've gone from nigger to negro and colored to and then urban, you know, these code words they use, urban. The latest is demographics. You know, when we say demographics, that's what we mean. We mean all of the components. When they use the term demographics, we're talking about black people. Okay, so they were sitting there talking about, you know, it was the demographics. Paul Ryan still refers to the urban vote. He lost in his own hometown, which is all white. You know, to your point, Dr. Salam. But Charles Blow did show there was an actual increase in the number of black votes in this election for Barack Obama as a response to voter suppression. Okay. And so he shows you with this map how the black vote was more, not that, I mean, you're right, we put him in both times in the sense that if you removed us as a block, yeah, he was sunk. But the point is we were absolutely essential to him. The Latino vote was important because, you know, they talk about 39, they say he only got 39% of the white vote. But, you know, as Dr. Ridge and I were talking the other day, anybody that knows our history would understand that to get 39% of white voters to cast a ballot for a black man is nothing short of a miracle.
That's right.
You know, this is a country where 50 years ago, I'll say 60 years ago, in Alabama, there was a crime on the books in some of the cities in Alabama, and you know what the crime was? It was called acting white. You would be lynched for acting white. Now, that does not mean you were a light-skinned black person trying to pass. Acting white meant you behaved in a way that suggested that you thought you had the rights and privileges of a Caucasian. A black man was hung outside of Mobile, Alabama in the 50s because he asked for a receipt when he made a purchase. He asked for a receipt. So to get 39% of white folks in a country like this is nothing short of a miracle. And so to people like Bill Riley and Donald Trump and Pat Buchanan, it's 1,000 years of darkness.
Oh, Ms. Ava.
yes, sir. But thank you, Dr. Salaam.
And Dr. Salaam, too. You know, thank you very much, man, for bringing that up. Because I'm trying to figure out, where are the old white men? What I'm saying is that the best they got? I mean, between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney and...
Yeah, that was deep. Yeah.
I mean, all those dudes, if you, all of them, you put them together, their brains could not fit on a pin, you know, head of a pin. So where are the smart white boys? Are they already gone? Have all the small white people gone?
They ran out.
They're already gone, evidently, because what they got left is the Scruggs.
And you know what? We keep forgetting they were so desperate. They had Herman Cain.
Yeah.
I have yet to understand. That was bizarre. I don't know how they had him in there.
Right. I mean,
but you're right. They're running. They didn't even have enough white men to fill the slots for the primary. They had to have this nutty woman, Michelle Bachmann, who came out at a rally singing happy birthday to Elvis on the date of his anniversary of his death. And then you have Herman Cain. You know, they didn't even have enough white males to fill the slots for the primaries. But that's a good point that Dr. Salaam brought in. We've got Brother Horatio. He's on the line.
As-salamu
alaykum. He got his mic open. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, excellent. How you doing, sister?
Wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, how you doing, brother? I had a quick comment.
Sure.
You know, the point that the brother just made when we talk about the intelligent white men, I would say they never have been intelligent. The truth of the matter is, you know, they had this country because they had free labor and they had a free country, and they looked to be intelligent, but now that black people's eyes are open and the true nature of black people are coming out because of the consciousness of black people, then you're beginning to see they're really not competitive at all. The other point I wanted to make is that we as black people, I live in the state of Alabama, you know. The minister told us that we live in some dangerous places, and
yeah,
these states are red states, and they're not red just because they chose the color red. They're red because really that's where we shed the most blood.
That's right.
But our people must begin to see that they're not going anywhere. What they want to do is succeed from the union so that they can then establish the laws the way they want to, because it was the federal government that stepped in to give us some sense of relief from them. When the states had the states' rights, that's when they abused black folk. And so when they start talking about moving away from the federal government, they really want to be able to keep the federal government from being able to keep them from enacting unjust laws and unjust policies against black people.
Well, you're exactly right, and I think that's a key point. And, you know, it what Brother Horatio is saying, Dr. Ridge, reminds me of what you said recently, that the beauty in all of this is that they're doing, as you called it, the heavy lifting, and they're manifesting the logic of all of this, and it's what Brother Horatio is saying. What this is, secession doesn't mean, you know, you're picking up Louisiana or Alabama and carrying it somewhere. You are saying, as they said in the Civil War, we are not going to be subject to your law.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so they're saying that if you are of the state of mind that you're willing to let a nigger go into Oval Office, you cannot be over us. See, that's the bottom line. And so and what it does, Brother Horatio, is Dr. Rizzi can speak for himself. He talks about how, you know, what they're doing for the nation,
right,
is they're letting black people see the logic in what the messenger and the minister have been saying.
Yes.
See, that we can't be together.
Right.
Because where we agree with them, we want to live under our law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so now, you know, even the most bourgeois, white-loving Negro, you know, if you love white people so much, then do your favorite thing, which is copy them. So
right,
if they are withdrawing and saying, we want to go over here, not physically move, but withdraw from being under the auspices of your flag and your laws, because you're not going to tell us how to relate to Negroes. That's what the Civil War was about. You are
right.
Not going to dictate to us to bring an end to slavery. It's not going to happen.
And one last point, you know, looking at the true nature of them, you know, the governor of Alabama, now this is the same governor who said he wasn't going to take any help from the federal government until the tornadoes came through in Tuscaloosa, which is his hometown, and just devastated. And then he said he was so happy that the president thought enough of them to come down, and he was very humbled by that. But just since they've been recovering, now he comes out and said he's not gonna allow the state to submit to Obamacare, even though, you know, he accepted this money and when they, you know, with all these tornadoes. So it just shows you the true nature of the people that you're dealing with. And down here, any of the whites that you deal with, they'll find a way to bring up, I guess your man got in office, or did you have a party, or, you know, they find a way to let you know that they think the same way the rest of these Republicans think and these racist enemies think. And what they're really trying to say is, even though they don't like Obama, the black people better realize they really are talking about us. Obama's just a sign of what's to come, and they know that he's just a lukewarm, I guess you would call him lukewarm black man. They are worried about the black people who are coming behind Obama. That's what they're concerned
yes,
about.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Horatio.
Well,
that's
yes,
excellent.
Ma'am. As-salamu
alaykum. Excellent insight. Well, alaykum salam. And, you know, Brother Horatio's right on it. The minister said the other day that he said it. Here, now, look at Barack Obama, intelligent, educated in the best schools in America, Harvard Law Review, okay, Columbia undergrad, married to a lawyer, you know, beautiful children, the whole nine, the whole, as they call it, the total package. Well, the minister said if they can't handle him, then what do the rest of us have? to look forward to. You know, what about Tyrone on 79th Street?
Mm. That's right.
If you can't handle somebody as refined, intelligent, and with a white mother, you know, and all of none of that does anything to quell their anger and horror at this man being in this position of leadership.
Well,
go ahead.
If white people weren't so mean, I would feel sorry for them. Because the definition of themselves put themselves in that type of a box.
Right.
Excellent point. They define, how do you know if a white person's white? You know, the only way to know is really if they tell you, because there's so many black people who could pass for white, and there's a lot of white people who are really black people passing. You know, they have to tell you. And when they tell you that, they're telling you that they represent a people who are very prejudiced. They have to keep themselves away from everybody else as though everybody else is dirt, and who cannot assimilate with other people because they become extinct because they find themselves a flesh color. So it's their problem. You know, we have never had a problem with white people, except our problem with white folks is that we didn't understand they was crazy when we first met them.
Right.
They're the ones who's got a problem with us. And as long as they define themselves in that box, you can't deal with them. Because the only way they can exist, they got to destroy us because they're recessive.
That's an excellent point. And see, where our insanity kicks in is in the effort to accommodate their insanity.
That's right.
Yeah, we're trying to find a way to accommodate it, and there is no way.
That's right.
And the minister teaches on their extreme consciousness of their whiteness. And you'll see that in the movie Lincoln. You know, they are absolutely obsessed with it, to the point where Jim Crow was not only debilitating to us, even though we were on the serious suffering in, but it's debilitating to them. And if you look at the country, the progress was not made in America until they came out from under Jim Crow. Because you can't be creative. We didn't have to wait until the 80s and to have an internet. We could have had internet in the 30s.
Mm.
But you're so busy making sure this black man steps off the sidewalk when you walk by. You know, you're so busy spending all your waking hours imposing Jim Crow on black people, you can't even think. You can't even produce offspring that can think. And so you can't invent anything. There's nothing innovative. There's nothing creative. And again, that's why Ulysses S. Grant, he was appalled when the Union Army went into the South at the beginning of the Civil War. They couldn't believe how undeveloped the South was. They didn't even have roads, barely. Because all you're doing is keeping black people down. That is a full-time job, to keep under your foot someone who by nature is actually superior to you.
That's right.
And that's really what all this is about. Back to Dr. Salam's point about what Bob Schieffer said on CBS about the white man basically fading into oblivion. And the minister said the other day, it's not going to get better, and they know it. If you're talking about Latinos increasing in population, what do we think? They're going to slow down? And with all of these laboratory babies and having quintuplets and everything else, white people are not producing. They don't have it in them.
You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he told us that Allah would close up the womb, And, you know, we're looking at it. And so
right.
it's amazing how this thing is happening. And, yes, the longer they wait, the more they will fade. So it's like when you hit a snake. When that snake, you hit a snake and you hurt a snake, you better stay out of striking distance. Okay?
Mm.
Because that snake is spitting mad. So they are spitting mad right now. So it's best for us to get out of striking distance. So we really need to start talking about how can we get out of striking distance because this snake has been hit.
That's powerful. And then it goes back to what the minister. Minister told, remember he told us before the election about run out is celebrating.
That's right.
You know, well, okay, we got Brother Yusuf. Yusuf is on the line. Let me get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yusuf.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to read some of what people on Twitter, white people, have been saying about Obama before and after the election. About 13 comments. One says, I was all happy and I was ready for school. Then I figured out retarded nigger is in office again. Another writes, I really just can't stand that monkey in office any longer. Another writes, I hope Obama dies. Another writes, niggers are voting Obama because they are afraid Romney is going to create jobs. Niggers hate to work and rather live off the, I guess he's trying to say government,
mm-hmm.
trying to impersonate us, I guess. Another writes, why did Obama's granddaddy cross the road? Because my great-granddaddy tugged his neck chain in that direction. Another writes, can't wait for Mitt Romney to win the election and kick that filthy nigger and his family out the White House. Another writes, is this really our punishment for slavery? Wasn't 4 years enough? Can't we just call it even? Another writes, I'd honestly be willing to spill blood and attack the North and take back America. Civil War 2012. Another writes, first thing my mom says this morning, did you hear the bad news? The monkey is staying in office for another 4 years. Hashtag, we hate you, Obama. Another writes, disappointed that my state voted for the nigger. Another writes, I hope the world does end in December so we won't have to suffer another 4 years with that monkey in office. Some cursing. Another writes, can we all just get out and vote for Romney and get this nigger out of office? And the last one writes, by Shelley, who wrote twice some racial things, I hope nigger Obama loses the election and Romney puts all the black people in concentration camps.
And that's America today.
So can I take this one?
Yes.
And I just got to take this one. I got to take this one. And the reason why I said it, as the brother reading it, it reminded me of a conference I was at because I'm in D.C., and it was in D.C., and it was a conference, and I remember talking about it on a talk show. And it says, take back America. That was the conference, you know, take back America. And then I asked a question at the conference, what part of America do you want to take back ever that had goodness for black people? So when I hear people quoting these folks and their anger and their hatred and whatever, sometimes I say, well, thank you. So at least I know what your thinking is, and I can really clearly see. And it helps me to reaffirm and to reassure black people that from the time that you got on a boat on the west coast of Africa to 2012, ain't nothing ever changed. And you cannot find on any records to date where they have changed and have been civil and have loved you and have said nice things to you. So thank you, Twitter. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, every social media out there that continues to edify the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he said in his historic book that you need to reread, Message to the Black Man, the white man is the devil. And what I mean by that, his ways of lying, his ways of cheating, his ways of name-calling have not changed from day one. And we know we're taught to call him the enemy, the slave master's children, but they have grown up and they are still doing the same things, and their little babies are doing it too. And if we don't wake up to the reality acting like we are seeing something new if nothing changed. And a brother just said, I came back to the panel, a brother just said, why are y'all acting like y'all haven't seen what's going on the day before? There's
right.
nothing new under the sun. How do we finally wake up and move out and do what is necessary? And what Jeff Johnson said, what is the consequence that you have to suffer for not responding? And I thought about that consequence when he was talking about administration. What should they, you know, they should be consequence for them not responding to us. But the other consequence, what is the consequence that we as a people will, not if, will suffer for not adhering to the word of God coming through God's servant and our messenger in our midst today, Minister Farrakhan, as we did not listen to his teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There will be consequences because God has power, and he will let us know if you don't hear and move away from these people that you continue to hear, don't want you, do not like you, you will and we will all together suffer a consequence. And we got a spanking with Sandy, but that's not it. So
right.
as we continue to hear this stuff, as I think me and you, Sister Ava, said one time, we're not shocked. They're just so surprised about some of the things that we hear. But we're
right.
not shocked that
well,
this hatred is out there. And I think everybody else needs to wake up to that reality and stop acting like we done heard something that we have not heard before. I just had to put that out there because, you know, thank you for, you know, not you, brother, but thank those that remind us that they hate us so we can help fuel our program of doing something for self.
And I'll tell you, Brother Yusuf, and thank you for that, Brother Terrence. See, these are people on Twitter. See, these are not some old people.
Yeah.
See, this is, you know, that's the other thing that is an eye-opener, especially, you know, people in Dr. Ridgely and our generation. You know, we came up in the civil rights era where it looked like this was coming to an end. And you think of, you thought racism, before you get the teachings, is something finite that dies out. It's not going to die out ahead of them, you know, because they keep, you know, every generation starts this afresh. And so you have young people saying that nigga, that monkey. You know, everybody on Twitter, you got very few 60-year-olds on Twitter, you know, so... Thank you, Brother Yusuf, for that.
Well,
that's powerful.
Yes, walaikum salam.
That's an eye opener. Yes, that and the diversity of the comments. You know.
Well, you know,
wow.
You know, our problem, Minister Ava, that we're going to have to really get into is really not our people, but it's the so-called leaders of our people
mm-hmm.
who try to
True.
Confuse our people on the direction to go. And try to lead our people away from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the way they led them away from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is really our so-called leaders who are jealous because the people do not follow them the way they followed Minister Farrakhan, that they will find all different types of ways to get around the issue and to get around the truth. Our people look up to these so-called leaders, and it's really so-called leaders that are the problem. One thing I want to say, I hear them now, I'm not going to mention the two of them, who's saying that Obama is a fronting, he's fronting. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has told us that there is a hidden government. It
right.
doesn't matter who is president. He ain't
That's
the boss.
Right.
So whoever be president will be fronting. If one of
That's
them
right.
is president, they'd be fronting because
right.
there's a hidden government underneath this government is running things, not these people out front. And if
Never
these so-called
been.
Leaders will just get out of the people's way and allow the people to listen to Minister Farrakhan, we can all get up out of here.
That is so true. Yeah, and we can never forget that. There's the nature of the people would be to go in this direction. But we got Brother Derek. He's been holding a while. Let's get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Derek. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Walaikum salam. How's everyone?
Wonderful. And yourself?
I'm fine. Sister, I got three quick statements, very quick.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, first of all, we need to stop saying Obama cares and we need to start saying Obama cares with an S.
Yes, sir.
Because they hate that fact that healthcare thing did pass through, and you know, the man obviously care about sick people, and they evidently don't. Okay, second, I applaud those type of rabid racist whites talking about seceding from the United States. I want to see the power of that angel who could build a border. You know, give them their land. Let them build a border of fire around them and let Allah kill them off. I mean, that's where I'm at.
I'm telling you.
And lastly,
yes, sir.
With I'm just going to make a prediction that within 100 years, the name America shall not be on this place anymore. Another name will be here over the land. And that's all I want to call and say, sir.
Well, you said a mouthful. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Derek.
Thank you, sir.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, we got Brother Hoyle. He's been holding, and we missed him last week, so I really want to get him in here. Brother Hoyle?
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava.
Wa alaikum salam.
And to your panel of guests and honorees. I guess you all were aware of the protest at Ole Miss. Did y'all hear about that?
Yeah, please. Yes, yes.
Oh, sister, they, you know, like I say, they tell things on certain parts of the country and don't, you know, they keep it hidden from certain parts of the north, and they just don't really let you know. This was, you can go on YouTube and pull it up, where, you know, right after the election, they were, I mean, rioting, saying nigger, and just all kinds of, you know, mass hostility off of these are young, like you said, young white people. I was listening to the Twitter remarks. And I was pulling up the Ole Miss Twitter remarks, and they were talking about the bridge chandelier. This is black people hanging from bridges. This with the Klan. It was, it was a situation where this was on our news, and Action News 5 here in Memphis. You know, Ole Miss is like 45 minutes from here, and where this was a Memphis mother whose son, she bought him a brand new truck. He goes to Ole Miss. They put nigger go home, scratched it all up, attacked him. This didn't make the news. And it was several students attacked down there when that happened. And, you know, Ole Miss was the main, Ole Miss, University of Tennessee in Knoxville, they had protests there and certain other colleges, especially in, like the brother from Alabama said, the red state. But I want you all to go, if you get a chance, and I don't know if you guys heard of Alex Jones, and, you know, Minister mentioned Ron Paul, and they were talking about the secession from the Union. And that's all they talk about, like you say, the gun rights, Obama taking the guns, and they're trying to find every excuse, you know, like you said, Sister Ava, to not be under a black man, you know.
That's right.
You know, like the minister said the other day, you know, our rise is bringing out that master civility and that nature. And, this is just a good thing because this should flip us back into, like we say, from week to week. Let's do for self. Let's organize.
That's right.
You know, I've listened to the Klan. They were on Nightline the other day, Sister Ava. And this is in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's where my dad's from. And these little ragged affected woods are down. Excuse my language. But they were down there talking about, we need to separate and they need to go back to Africa. And the minister say, hey, this is our home. We built this country. Y'all got to get to step in. That's, you know, I want to tell them so bad. I mean, this is Mississippi is ours, you know. The whole, you know, all of this is ours. Like the brother said, we need to just get in that separate territory. But, you know, we just have to wake up and see and organize because Allah got our back. If we just organize, like the minister said, we can go in the worst part of the country, you know, Texas, you know. And the minister was saying, he was telling us that when they were growing the beans, it was places that the University of Michigan didn't even know that they said it was impossible to grow beans.
That's right.
Oh, the minister's growing beans, you know. So we got a God that's backing us. We can go out there in the Sahara Desert, anywhere, you know. And he, you know, but sister, this is a beautiful show. We just got to, like Brother Terrence, he just put it, laid it down. This is how to whip us into doing for self. And we just got to pay more attention to, you know, their massive civility is coming off, and we just got to see that, you know. And our people, like you say, they want to grovel and the, you know, high up of their grove, they still want a piece of the crumbs, you know. But they're going to soon see, sister. They're going to soon see. But may Allah bless you all, and I'd like to hear more from the rest. Assalamualaikum.
And thank you, Brother Hoyle, and thank you for reminding us. And everybody, if you haven't seen or heard about the response to the president's reelection at Ole Miss, and that's the university where James Meredith, back in 1962, that there's a documentary on his admission to Ole Miss, and it was really like a mini civil war down there over one single black man just trying to attend college. And I think I read somewhere they were using a rebel flag, and they had a rebel Confederate dress mascot, like into the 90s. You know, this is no joke.
Sister, when they had the mascot, they tried to change the mascot
yeah.
I guess, for diversity, trying to say what they call them. They called it something else, but they got a signature petition to bring back Colonel Reb.
Colonel Reb,
yeah, Colonel Reb, and it was they named it something else, like some kind of hottie totty mascot, a hottie totty with a black man, you know, kind of built, you know. But the majority of the people want Reb back, because this, you know, here in Memphis right now, Sister Ava, do you know there's a big statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest right in the middle of downtown? You can go down Union Avenue, and there's the founder of the Klan, a murderer, right, his statue, a big park, Nathan Bedford Forrest Park, right in front of a Masonic Lodge, not too far from downtown. So, you know, Memphis, really, I'm going to tell you about Memphis. Memphis is really the hotbed. This is where the first black millionaire, Robert Church, Ida B. Wells, this is where blacks, really the first black millionaires on Beale Street, where that's what black, and the Klan got envious and jealous. I got a book that Minister Anthony had that was telling us how black wealth started on Beale Street, and the Klan got envious, ran them out. Most of those black people went to Oklahoma, and that's where they had the Oklahoma City bombing. And like I said, this was the hotbed of the cotton. The Memphis is built on a bluff. All of the Delta cotton, you know, cotton was like gold. Cause
that's right.
The Rothschilds and all of the financing. So you got a lot of old Jewish wealth and money here in Memphis. This is the second Federal Reserve city, biggest other than New York. There's a large Jewish population here. So if you go to the secret relationship of blacks and Jews, Memphis is a vital part to that.
That's right.
Know? So a lot of history, and like I said, this is where Martin Luther King was killed. I'd say this was this is one of the conspired spots for it. But like I said, there's a lot of stuff they're not going to report from the South that's happening. But I'll keep you abreast. What I hear, I'll let you all know.
Thank you so
may
much,
Allah bless you, sister.
You as well. Assalamualaikum.
Thank you, sister. Assalamualaikum.
And I just wanted to point out this the rampant racism among white people is really something that's been generated by their rulers to give them something to beat up on as they are being milked. If 2%, if it's only 2% of the population who makes an income over $250,000. Why did 72% of white people vote for the 2%?
Right.
They're not even in the crowd, but yet they voted for Romney because he was going to protect the 2% from getting any taxes on them. So they give white people us to chew on while somebody's chewing a big chunk out of their behind.
That's exactly right.
It's no reason for us to be around these stupid people because they only print their own money. The Constitution said you're supposed to print your own money, and they left the Rothschild Federal Reserve Bank print the money and in charge of interest on it. These people are really stupid, and the only thing that keeps them going is to have us to beat up on.
If you want
to get rid of white folks, all we got to do is leave them alone to themselves.
That's exactly right.
They can't.
And I pray we really as a people see the light, and the listeners on this show, you know, the people that you interact with, family, friends, coworkers, you know, this is really a mercy from Allah right now. To as many of the callers have said, and you and Terrence have said, Dr. Rizzi, we are seeing the full manifestation. I think Terrence said it reminded us, open enemy. They are showing us in our face their contempt for us by their reaction to this man's election is absolutely insane.
Yes.
It shows the worst mental instability that I've ever witnessed. I've never seen anything like this. It's an outrage. We've got Seven Truth. Allah is on the line, and he has a comment. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Comment. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, brother.
Yeah. I just got a few comments, and I really must speak. All praise is due to Allah today. I don't know why it took so long, but I've been practicing, and I finally finished and completed my letter today.
Bless your heart. Praise is due to Allah.
Due to Allah.
I'm really with so many emotions. I feel like Dap from school days. I feel like Nat Turner from long ago. I feel like Master Farah Muhammad in 1910. And I just the things that I'm hearing, I listen to Joe Madison and Warren Valentine and even Reverend Sharpton. And I'm hearing it on Elevated Places and such. And I'm filled with anger. I'm filled with elation because I know that Allah has all of this well in hand.
Yes.
I am so glad to have a minister that is old enough to be able to speak everything that is truth to power. And he couldn't do it unless he was backed by two powerful men. And I just, you know, hearing the things from Ole Miss, I heard it. I get to know that, you know, folks like Donald Trump, folks like Rush Limbaugh still running off at the face with this ignorance and then about these states of trying to secede and everything. That succeeding, if anyone, and it goes back to when Sarah Palin had her face all up in the news.
Yeah.
Her husband is somehow connected to an organizational group that is about succeeding, and they were going to try to do it with Alaska when she was running for vice president. And the story kind of, you know, went away.
Right.
But here it is, full-fledged. So it's not really strange to hear that. And no, she's kind of quiet right now in the news.
That's right.
But that lady is around here doing something. And then you got Donald Trump. And if he's ever listening to me, yes, Seven Truth said it. Donald Trump is around here doing his foolishness, talking about getting a group to go and march on Washington. This stuff is just absolutely crazy. And if anybody is wondering if we're at the end of times or we're dealing in the days of Revelation, please wake up. Please. Those posts that I saw or the brother called off from Twitter, Facebook, all of those posts in one picture. And I had to post it up, and I had a cousin of mine, older cousin of mine, come back and, "Don't feed into that." And it really made me mad, because in this day and age, we don't have time for knee shaking, back bending, word shuffling, changing, excuse me, Negroes. And I know I love my cousin with all I can, but we don't have time for being scared no more. These folks are calling out war. We are at war, and there's no time to be hiding behind something thinking these people are going to change. There is no break.
Thank you.
Allah, take them out.
And I love what you're saying, because because, you know, we better be more afraid of a God that, instead of being afraid of these people, look at God's ability to turn their homes into toothpicks, okay, with wind, you know, to change. He's changing the ocean front, the shoreline. Sandy actually took away the Jersey shoreline.
That's right.
You know, so that's what we better fear.
Did it take away the show, Jersey Shore, along with it, okay?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir. So I'm going to go, Brother Seven Truth, a lot. Thank you for that powerful insight, and congratulations on completing your letter. And may Allah continue to bless you. Keep calling us.
True indeed. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Yeah, this is a great time to be alive, Dr. Ridgely and
yes,
Brother Terrence.
Is.
Great time to be alive. I want to take another call because, and then I want to share something with everyone in terms of what I mentioned earlier about the origin of all of this states' rights and spending as a cover for what they really want to say. But Brother Lewis has been holding for a while, and we definitely don't want to miss him. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Wa alaikum salam, family. I'll be very brief. Thank you, Sister Ava, Dr. Rizzi, and Brother Terrence, that you're so fire. My question is, I guess, is that it seems like Louisiana is leading the way in a lot of this secession talk, and I think that
yes, there's one of those.
David Duke is, and that's the state I'm in. David Duke now is
yes.
going around with that powerful red book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. What effect, and also when you mentioned Ole Miss, I thought about the SEC game where Ross Barnett, the former governor in Mississippi, used to use the halftime show to teach racial hatred and segregation, not separation. What role do you think Louisiana will play, considering the fact that, you know, this is the home of William Levy, and it seems like Louisiana is leading the way? But I'll just stop short and listen for your comments, because I know your time is short.
And also, thank you, and I want to I'm going to be in touch with you, Brother Lewis, because I know you have a program yourself. And
yes, ma'am.
We want to start seriously networking and promoting your program, even on this program. And, you know, I participate. The last few weeks have been overwhelming, but I definitely plan to get in touch with you. But, Dr. Ridge, I think in response, Brother Lewis is asking about Louisiana. And I did read, you know, Louisiana, as he pointed out, is one of the states, along with Texas, at the forefront of this secession. And I will say that Minister Farrakhan has commented heavily on Mississippi, first and foremost, then Louisiana and Texas. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made reference to Texas quite a bit. You know, in terms of the whole idea of justice and the volume of blood that has been shed in these uniquely racist areas
well, you know,
of the country. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, as long as they keep stirring stuff up, then you have a chance to move. They will not allow you to be complacent. So really, you know, sometimes you have to put some thorns into the nest. The fiery serpents have to be let loose. And this weekend,
Brother Lewis, you coming down? We can talk about Louisiana. We can talk about Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia.
Yeah.
And we develop some serious plans.
That's
about
right.
How we going to make it on our own, since these good white folks want to leave. we should talk about taking and making things happen, because I'm sure they must, you know, they got Montana, they got Wyoming, they got all these places where they can move and be white in peace, even back in Europe. So just in case they decide to pull up, we need to already have a plan in motion to utilize these states down here that we built.
That's exactly right. And you know, as we're under 5 minutes now. I just wanted to quickly share with the listeners that those of you, many of you are familiar with it, but if you're not, Lee Atwater was a member of the Reagan administration, and he was also one of Reagan's political strategists. And it was Lee Atwater who taught the Republican Party what they call the Southern Strategy. And this is what Ronald Reagan introduced in Mississippi when he began his campaign for the presidency. And what Lee Atwater explained at that time to the Republicans, he said, and this is a quote from him, he said, back in 1954, you were saying nigger, nigger, nigger. But by 1968, now he's talking in 81, by 1968 you couldn't say nigger. That would hurt you. That would backfire. So in 68 you were saying things like forced busing, states' rights, and all of that stuff. So now you have to get more abstract. You have to talk about cutting taxes. You have to talk about economic things. And a byproduct of these economic things, you have to say that blacks get hurt worse than whites. And subconsciously, I'm saying that, I'm quoting him, I'm saying that if it is getting that abstract, we can do away with this problem one way or the other. You follow me? We have to say we want to cut this. That is a lot more abstract than nigger, nigger, nigger. And so what he was introducing to them, and that's what you hear with the Tea Party,
yes,
and all of these groups. That's all they talk about is the federal deficit, spending, cutting taxes, and coming under this umbrella, above all, of states' rights. We don't want government intrusion. And as I think you said it earlier, Dr. Ridgely, Dr. Salam, Brother Terrence referred to it, the federal government's history is one of providing relief to black people from the horrors of day-to-day life under the foot of Southern white America. And so now what we're hearing in 2012 is we're hearing the phrase traditional America is being threatened. We're hearing that the future of our children and grandchildren is being jeopardized. We're hearing words like demographics. And so these are the new dog whistle words that are being employed. But as Brother Terrence says so perfectly, ain't nothing changed since day one. And that is the truth of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I want to, before we end, we're down to a minute, I want to thank the Elevated Places team, my co-host Terrence Muhammad, our contributor to Elevated Places, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. We couldn't run this switchboard and do these calls without the technical expertise and brilliance of Sister LaDonna Muhammad. We want to thank Sister Rona Muhammad and also our researcher, Brother Bobby Muhammad. Without them, there just wouldn't be an Elevated Places. And, of course, we look forward, with Allah's help, all of us still being around next week, and we will once again continue this powerful discussion on Elevated Places. So inshallah, may Allah bless all of us with love, light, and understanding, and we will be with you next week.